thank you for this service that you've given unto us, this very day, this very moment. We thank you for July 9th, 2017, Lord. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for every person in this chapel, the overflow area, as well as those who are listening online right now. Lord God, that your word penetrate each and every heart, the saved, the unsaved, the joyful, those that are hurting. May your word have free reign in this house. Lord, I thank you that you're going to touch lives today, touch hearts, going to touch those who are wounded. You're going to touch those, Lord, that maybe they feel their life has just been one empty thing to another. And Lord, I thank you for the living water of the Holy Spirit of God moving among us, refreshing us, and strengthening us this morning. We pray over those that we love, Lord. We pray for James and Dan Baker, Lord, and for all the people, Billy Smith, and everyone that we've been praying, Father, for the surgeries that they've had. Thank you for their families. Just surround them with your comfort, O Lord. Bring healing now to their bodies. Bless your word, O Father. Help me to teach it accurately, faithfully now. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John this morning. We're in chapter 4 as we continue our study. And remember, we left off with Nicodemus. And, you know, after the story of Nicodemus, what a great one-on-one encounter that was at night with there with the Lord, that face-to-face meeting. Matter of fact, if you study the Gospel of John, you'll find out that there's actually 8 face-to-face meetings with Jesus, private meetings, if you will, in his Gospel. And so as we look this morning, we're going to be in chapter 4, but just to go back to chapter 3, verse 22 and following. Not that I'm not covering that this morning, but I want to remind everyone, I'm sure you've already read that's the last testimony of John the Baptist. And there was a jealousy that was a brewing, if you will, because all of a sudden more people now are coming to Jesus's when he's teaching than John's. And so John goes to them and tells them, he says, listen, guys, he, Jesus, must increase. Amen? He says, I must decrease. In other words, my ministry is now coming to an end. I'm only the forerunner. I'm only introducing the Messiah to Israel. And of course, we know that his ministry was ending because, you know, he was arrested and put in prison and so forth, and of course, lost his head. Now, we left off with all of that, but tonight, or this morning, rather, we're going to have a face-to-face meeting with a woman at the well. I know that you know this story by heart. I know that you've probably heard sermons on it during your entire Christian life. It's one of the most famous of all stories in the Word of God or the New Testament. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is only recorded for us in John's Gospel. And not only that, this is Jesus's longest one-on-one talk or chat, if you will, recorded for us in Scripture, and it was the woman at the well. What a great word God has for us this morning. We're going to look at those words that she said to the Lord. She said, sir, give me this water. Say that with me. Sir, give me this water. That should be the cry of our heart as well. Amen? Now, let's begin this morning as we look at that beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Remember, all the crowds were now coming to the Lord. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now, you know, the Lord didn't baptize anyone. Can you imagine saying, well, you know what? You might have been baptized by old Philip or Peter or what, but the Lord, he baptized me. Amen? Well, you could really cause a church split on that one, couldn't you? No, listen. But here's what happened. Verse 3 is very important. It says that Jesus did something. He left Judea. He left Jerusalem. He's now going someplace else into the Galilee, where now the Galilee is going to be the major portion, if you will, of his ministry, okay? But when that word left is used here, it's a very, very strong word in the Greek, and they could not literally translate it over, I guess, the translators. But this word, this strong word left, literally the idea behind that word is that Jesus is leaving something to itself. In other words, leaving something to its own fate now. He broke with it. And so he is now leaving that area, and he's going into the Galilee. And here's in verse 4, but Jesus needed to go through Samaria. I like the King James Version better. Jesus said he must needs go. This was about Jesus being about God's divine plan, amen, about his Father's business. Listen, Jesus, it says in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, amen. We were lost. He found us. We didn't find him. He was after us the whole time. He's still after everyone that doesn't know him. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, Jesus is seeking a single, or rather just one individual, and she is a woman. The woman isn't seeking Jesus at all. Matter of fact, she doesn't realize what this day is going to hold for her. And in her wildest dreams, I promise you, she never thought that that day that she left the little city below, walked a half a mile to the well to get water, that she thought, well, today I'm going to meet the King of Kings. Today I'm going to meet God's only Son. Today I'm going to meet the Savior of the world. You never know what's going to happen today when God is moving. Amen? Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. This wasn't by a chance meeting at all. It was a divine plan of God. Now look at verse 5. And so Jesus came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, look what he did. He sat there by the well, or literally he sat on the well. The well today is 7.5 feet in diameter. And, you know, they measured it, believe it or not, back in 1697. Some of you might have been there. I'm not for sure. And it was about 105 feet deep, if I recall my history. But nevertheless, it's noon. It's the sixth hour. It's hot. Jesus is weary. He is thirsty. And he's waiting on someone that he knows is coming. It's never by chance. Amen? There's no such thing as chance or coincidence or any of those things. Listen, Jesus has a plan. He has a plan for every person. He wants to meet every person. He wants to save every person. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. She walked, how many times do you think that she left her little city, the little town, walked all the way a half a mile up to Jacob's well to draw water? Every day that she did that, hundreds of times, over and over and over. And the only reason that this poor woman is coming is because she just has the water pot. She's going to fill it with water. It's noon, it's hot, and then she's going to go back to her home. The problem with this is that there's no one there at the well but Jesus, which is not a problem. It's going to be a great thing. But I say that because this shows us something about this woman. It shows us that she was indeed, well, she was an outcast. Because the women at that time, they would always gather early in the morning. They would bring their water pots. They would fill their water pots in the cool of the day. And it was a time of fellowship. It was a time to talk to one another. How's your day been? How's that crummy husband of yours? You know, things like that. You know what I mean? No. So here she goes. It was that time of fellowship. She had no idea that today, everything that she had been going through in her life, not only was it going to be revealed, but she was going to be changed forever and ever and ever. I have been a believer now for well over 40 years. I have never, ever in my life heard the Lord say, I need a favor of you, Bill. Never. But here, Jesus sitting on the well, he asked this woman, he asked a favor of her. And it's a very polite, in the Greek, it's a very polite way he did it. He said, may I have a drink? May I have a drink? That's all I need. I just need a drink. Doesn't that blow you away? I mean, think of our Lord. I mean, is he the source of all life? Is he the sustainer of all creation? I mean, was he the water of, you remember the rock that followed the children of Israel there in the Old Testament, and water came out of the rock? Paul says that Christ was that spiritual rock. I mean, he doesn't have a problem producing water. Amen. I mean, did he create the Nile? How about Niagara Falls? Hello. The one who created everything said, I need a drink. Would you give me a drink? And the woman of Samaria said to him, what? Watch this now. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews, we don't have any dealings. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Listen, I tell you, this woman, number one, I know she's in shock. Do you believe that? I mean, think about it. Here she is. She's done this every day for how many years? Who knows? At noon, and all of a sudden she finds a man sitting at the well. I doubt if that's ever happened before. Not only just any man, he is a Jewish man. And the Jews and the Samaritans have absolutely no dealings with one another. I mean, she was shocked. There's a Jew at the well. He's asking me for a drink. Listen, Jews at that time, because of the horrible divide, the racism, if you will, between those two, the Jew and the Samaritan, Jews would not go into Samaria. They would, if they did, they literally, just the dust from Samaria would, they felt, render them contaminated or unclean, if you will. So they would go around Samaria. It's kind of like if you're coming to Fort Worth, which we call the Promised Land, you don't want to drive through Dallas. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be contaminated and then have to come over here. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Don't turn off your thing now that you're listening, Dallas. I love you. I'm just teasing. So, no. No, listen. Yeah, they were contaminated. And then, of course, a Jew would never in a million years ask a Samaritan, let me drink out of your cup. I don't have anything. Let me drink out of your cup. That would render them totally and completely unclean. And not only that, the strict rabbis of that time, they taught that you should never, number one, be with a woman alone, but you would not even speak to a woman. You know, there was a sect of the Pharisees. They were called the blind and the bruised Pharisees. Remember what they did? You know, if they walked down the street and all of a sudden they saw a woman, didn't matter if it was Jew, Gentile, whatever it might be, but they would cover up their eyes while they're walking so they would not look upon a woman. And that's why they were bruised and bleeding. They walk into walls and everything else. I mean, hello? I mean, it's really the truth. Now, the Samaritans, let's find out why they were so unloved. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 17, we're in 2 Kings right now on Wednesday nights. We're going to find out in 722 BC, the 10 tribes of Israel, remember they were separated, the two tribes were the southern kingdom, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. And the 10 tribes, because of their idolatry, because they had forsaken God, what did they do? Man, the Assyrians took them off into captivity. And so here you have these 10 tribes in captivity. And while they're there, 700 years from this writing back, they start intermarrying with foreigners, if you will, the Assyrians and whoever else was there. And so now they're part Jew and part whatever else. Well, if anyone who was a part Jew, by the Jews considered them completely unclean. Matter of fact, they said, you weren't even a Jew. It had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with them after they intermarried. And not only that, they only believed in the first five books of the Bible. They never believed in the prophets. And so what they did, they created their own place of worship on Mount Gerizim, or however you say that. I've always had a problem saying that word. Mount Ebal, I don't have a problem. But the one across from it, I do, all right? Gerizim, you take it from there. Now, so they had their own temple, their own form of worship, all of those things, but they were hated one to another. If a Samaritan found a Jew in their land, they would capture him and sell that Jew into slavery. So these people, there was really a racial divide, if you will, that was there. John 4:10. And Jesus answered to her, he said, you know, if you're a Jew, what are you talking to me? Why do you ask me a drink? He says, if you knew this, if you knew the gift of God, who really is the gift of God? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, eternal life. Yes, the new birth. Amen. But the true gift of God is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says, listen, Christ Jesus is the indescribable gift of God. He's, and there the gift, Jesus, is sitting. the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says, oh, listen, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. He would have given you living water. Now listen, if you only knew, Jesus said, man, if you only knew who I, my identity, he said, you know, I would give you more than this water that comes from this well. I would give you so much more. And Jesus is telling her how to be saved, although she doesn't recognize it as of yet. He says, I have the living water. All you have to do is receive it as a gift. Amen. And so the woman said to him, sir, well, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And where then do you get that living water? Listen, that verse is a sermon all in itself. How many times have Jesus made a promise to her, didn't he? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is speaking to you, you would have asked me of living water, and I would have given it unto you. Is that a promise? That's a promise from the lips of our Savior. It's a promise to us as well. Now listen, and so many times we, like this woman, we come to, you know, to the promises in the Word of God, or we hear something being preached and we get all excited about it, but we're just like this woman because, you know, God gives us a promise and we say, well, wait a minute, you don't really have anything to draw with that I can see. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. How are you going to even get any of this water? Where in the world you think you're going to get it from anyway? See, we're just like that all the time. Lord, how are you going to get me out of this problem? I know what the Word says, but I need something more. No, you just need that promise. You need to believe the promise. Amen? He knows everything that we need. And look at this. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, or gave the well, and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? That's not true. Jacob was not the father of the Samaritans. Amen? He was the God of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Matter of fact, Jesus should have said, yeah, I know who Jacob is. I wrestled him one night, you know, had to change his name. He was so messed up. Now, and Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, just the regular old well water, that H2O. You know what? You're going to thirst again. You're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be thirsty. You know, we live in a world right now, a world that has so many wells to drink out of. We live in a nation that has so many watering holes. Amen? You go drink out of this one, you go drink out of that one, and they're so deep. They're so deep you can keep drinking out of the wells of the world, and you know what? You'll finally end up dying, and you're never going to be satisfied unless you know Jesus Christ. We don't need to drink the water of the world. We don't need anything. It's just going to leave us thirsty and unsatisfied. Whenever the children of Israel, remember, they did two things. They forsook the Lord. They turned to idols. They went walked away from the living God. Jeremiah the prophet cried out, and he said in Jeremiah 2:13, oh, my people, they've committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have built for them cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can you imagine walking away from the God of all comfort, the God of all goodness, the God of all love, the God of all mercy, the God who is more than enough for every need that we have? Amen? Can you imagine walking away from him? I don't want to be like that. I'm so deceived that say, well, you know what? We're going to build this watering hole, and this watering hole here is going to really satisfy us. No, it's not going to satisfy us because it's not going to hold anything that's going to help us. And we live in a time, in a generation, you know, I hate to say it, the world it daily builds us a place to drink out of. But what's so sad is sometimes the church does too, but it's the wrong way. You understand? Oh, how important that is. Listen, each new man-made watering hole or well or cistern will never, ever refresh us. Never. Only Jesus, only living water. Jesus said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. I love that. But the water that I shall give him will become, watch this, in the person, in him, a fountain of water springing up or leaping up or bubbling up, if you will, into everlasting life. Listen, that means completely, permanently satisfied. You know, when David cries out in Psalm 23, the great psalm, he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And here comes, and he leadeth me beside still waters. Everything that we need. He knows exactly where we need to be all the time. Jesus said, in him, there will be a fountain within, a fountain of everlasting satisfaction. You know what? Listen, it's one thing to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's one thing for the Holy Spirit to always be among us, with us, walking with us. But it's quite another to be overflowing, and I'm talking about endued with that power from upon high. Amen? Oh, that's we need that today more than we ever had. No wonder Jesus, when he cried out in John, he said, oh, listen, he said, Jesus cried out, I said, oh, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, plural, of living water. And this he spake, it says, by the Holy Spirit, yet the Holy Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit poured out upon the church, the birth of the church. Listen, we carry within us the fountain of living waters. Amen? To lead us, to guide us, igniting the Word of God. We need him so desperately today. He's always conforming us into the image of Christ, taking us from glory to glory to glory. How wonderful that is. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Say that with me. Sir, give me this water. And here's the reason. I want that water, Lord. I want it right now. She said, that I may not thirst. I don't want to be thirsty again. And not only that, I don't want to come here to draw. I never want to come to this well again. I never want to take another lonely step to this well ever again in my life. I want you to put a faucet in my house. That's what she's basically thinking. She's not thinking spiritual, is she? No. She said, just give me this water. I don't want to ever come. I don't want to have to walk a mile a day, a half a mile here, a half a mile back. I don't want it at all. But here, when she said, sir, something changed. Sir, I want what you said. This is more than I just want the water. You see, this is a cry of a woman that is hurting, that is wounded, that is so discouraged. And she's crying out, you know, oh, it's just not coming to the well. This is a cry of her heart. She's saying, you know what? In her heart, maybe not verbally, but she's saying, you know what? I am thirsty. I'm so thirsty. I am so dried up on the inside. I'm so miserable on the inside. I'm so hurting and disappointed with my lousy life. I am so tired of it all. I'm tired of being unloved. I'm tired of being unwanted. I'm tired of men who use me, abuse me, and throw me away. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am burned out. And the only thing I have left is just a pile of ashes. Yeah, if you would you give me this living water? I've never heard of it, but I never want to be thirsty in any of those areas again. And that's why Jesus turned to her in verse 16, and this is what he did. He says, okay, you want the living water, but here's the deal. You got to come clean. Let's have a talk. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, well, all right, you want this living water? Go call your husband, and you come here. And the woman answered and said, well, I don't have a husband. I have no husband. And she's telling the truth. And Jesus said to her, you know what? You have well said, I have no husband. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Jesus hit a sore spot? Ooh, man, he nailed it, didn't he? Listen, did you know what Jesus did and always does? He goes to the root of the pain. He goes to the root of the problem. Before there can ever be any conversion, there has to be conviction. Amen? You have to say, yes, I have a need. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm in trouble. So he goes right to her heart. And look what Jesus continues to do. He says, oh, no. He said, you well said I have no husband, for you've had five husbands. Man, five husbands and five divorces. You know what I mean? Marriage after marriage failed. You've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have, he's not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. Man, Jesus hit it right on the head, didn't he? Listen, you know, today you hear that, you know, the living together thing. You know, I love you so much. I don't want to spend the rest of my life with you. You know, and he says, "But let's just live together." That sounds like a deep commitment, doesn't it? That way I'm not really committed. I can get out of here anytime I want to. You know, in other words, Jesus said, woman, listen to me. You're living in sin. You've had five marriages. You've had five divorces. And now you find it no longer even necessary for marriage to even happen. You're just living with this old boy. You're living with him right this moment. Now, I want you to listen to me. Jesus, when he talks to her, he's tender. He's not beating this woman up. He's speaking into the deepest hurt of her life. You know, you have to say, five husbands. I mean, maybe they all died. Well, I don't blame the guy. I wouldn't marry her either, okay? I don't know. I mean, hello, I don't know. But that's not the case here, I'm sure. You know, listen, we live in a culture today. Oh, we've lived in a culture a long time that believes, you know what, if you just find Mr. Right or Miss Right, just find, if you find that perfect guy, that perfect girl, you know what? And you marry them, you're going to be happy the rest of your life. Hello? You know what I mean? No. You'll be satisfied. No. Marriage is wonderful. Yes, marriage should satisfy you. But listen to me. No one can truly satisfy you except Jesus Christ. No one. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. No matter what you have in this life. And so the woman said to him, sir, in other words, yeah, five husbands, five divorces, I'm living with an old boy. Oh, I perceive that you're a prophet. Yeah, I would say the same thing. Man, you read me, you know everything. How in the world did you know that? So she's uncomfortable. This is like when you start sharing the word of God with people and they want to change the subject. Look what she does. She goes, well, listen, our fathers did something. They worshiped on this mountain. That's at Mount Gerizim. Okay, the one next to Ebal. You got it? I'm not going to use that word again. Now, they worship on this mountain. Now, listen to what she goes. She does. And you Jews, now you Jews say that in Jerusalem, that now that's the place. There's the temple there. You say that that's the place we must or we ought to worship. So listen now. The Samaritan woman is really, really getting serious. She said, okay, I'm going to have a little theological talk with you if you don't mind, because you know what? All of my descendants worshiped on that mountain. It goes way, way back to my great, all the way back to my grandfather. You understand? We have a temple up there. We do sacrifices up there. Listen, that's the place to worship God. And, you know, the Samaritans, I don't know if you know this or not, but they really messed everything up. Like I said, they had the five books of Moses. They kind of believed that, but they never believed the prophets, and they made their own religion up, okay, basically. Now, and they also added all sorts of things. In other words, they would say, you know, hear this mountain. You see this mountain up here? Well, you know what? Let me tell you how important it is. That is where the Garden of Eden started. Matter of fact, the very dust from that mountain right there, God created Adam. Even Noah's Ark rested there. I'm telling you to the truth. Think about that. No, it didn't. Where did Noah's Ark rest at? Oh, Lord, help this side. Oh, in Jesus' name. No, yeah. I mean, they made all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and not only that, Jacob, this is his well. I have it as part of my family. No, it wasn't. Now, listen, what is she doing? Tell me where the right temple is. Tell me where the right church is, if we bring it up to today. Tell me where you the right place to worship and so forth. And Jesus said to her, and this is a sermon all in its own, but I can't go very deep into it. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither worship or neither on this mountain, meaning her mountain, or in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Again, they only believed a limited portion of the Bible. They didn't believe the prophets. They didn't even know what was going on anyway. And he says, you know what? But we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, meaning the Messiah would come through the Jewish race. But the hour is coming, that hour of his death, the hour of his resurrection. It says, and now, right this moment it is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. I've preached a whole sermon on that. Not just with a pure heart. Yes, that's vital, a genuine heart. But you know what? It's when it says to worship God in spirit and truth, that truth meaning according, worshiping God the way he says he needs to be or ought to be worshiped. You can never separate God's word and the way we worship. Never. God tells us how to worship him. Amen? And it has to be done in spirit, and it has to be done in truth. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now listen, isn't it amazing that this revelation wasn't given to the Jews, the Pharisees? It's given to a woman who's been married 5 times, who is an outcast of her city, who was not loved by anyone, evidently. And you know what? She'd been married 5 times, living with an old boy, and she gets this revelation. And so what did Jesus do? He said, listen, you see your mountain, and you see that mountain in Jerusalem. That's not the place anymore. The hour is almost here. And what did Jesus do? He moved the worship of God from a place to a person. Amen? You can worship God right here. You can worship God at home. You can worship God anywhere. Amen? So in other words, Jesus said, it's not where you worship, but it's how you worship, and it's whom you worship. He cleared everything up, and the woman said to him, well, you know what? I know a little bit about God's word because I know the Messiah is coming who's called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Now look what Jesus does. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. In the Greek there, actually, it is exactly the same as Jesus, or as God spoke to Moses when he revealed himself to Moses when he said, I am that I am that I am. Jesus just said, I am God. I am the Messiah. You don't have to wait, woman, on any far-off event. You don't have to do that. The one who is standing or sitting at this well, speaking to you face-to-face this very, very moment, I am the present Savior, your present Savior, and your personal Savior. I believe at that moment she trusted in him. And at that point, his disciples came and they marveled and they talked with the woman, and yet no one said, why do you seek her? Why are you talking with her? You know, because again, like I told you earlier, it was wrong. The Jewish tradition or the rabbis would say, you don't ever talk to a woman alone. And so the woman left her water pot, because she had now living water, amen? And went her way into the city and said to the women, who did she speak to? I love that. She spoke, I wonder if all of her ex-husbands were there. You know, and then her boyfriend. She spoke to the men. You know, that's where George Strait got that song. All my exes live in Sychar. You know what I'm saying? That's where it came, right here, from that scripture. Yeah, and look what she said. She said, listen, she left her water pot. She went right to the men immediately. Come see a man. Come see a real man. I know all about men, she said. You come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Listen, I believe in my heart, although not recorded, I believe in my heart, as much as I know, the little bit I do know about women today, I believe in my heart that this woman, this nameless woman, we should say, at the well, I think that she might have said in her heart, I don't know that I can trust one more man, especially a Jew, okay? You follow me? Do you know how paramount, how big this was for her? I mean, she was saying, you know what? Here he is. She said to those guys, this guy, he knows everything about me. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the ugly. And he didn't reject me. He didn't hurt me. He didn't use me. He didn't manipulate me, which men do all the time and women do all the time. He didn't do any of those things. He told me about my life. He told me about my first husband. He told me about how I loved him, how I wanted him. And yet he didn't want me. He told me about my second husband and my third husband and my fourth husband and my fifth husband. And then he told me about the man that I'm living with. He told me about the abuse when I was young. He told me everything that I had ever done, everything. And you know what he did? He did something that no one has ever done. He did not condemn me. He didn't hurt me. He didn't put me down. He gave me living water. You come now. You come and see a man. And it says there, then they went out of the city and they came to Jesus. Now listen, immediately, what happened to this woman? Immediately she became like an evangelist. Matter of fact, she's the first female evangelist, if we could use that term, if you don't mind, in the New Testament. Listen, when a person truly comes to Christ, you are changed. You are a new creation. And you know what you want to do? Remember, do you remember what you wanted to do? You wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Amen? Listen, I remember when I came to the Lord, I'd pull into a gas station and I'd be pumping gas and I'd go, hey, man, I'd put the flipper on. You know the flipper? You know what I'm talking about? What's that? What is that?
It's a flipper.
A flipper. And would hold the gas and I would walk. I'd say, do you know Jesus? They go, ah, you know, I mean, it's like a crazy kid, you know, just because something had happened to me. And when something happens to you, like the living water, when you're born from, you just can't help it. You want to tell everyone about the Lord. You know I've told you this before. I believe I have. When I came to the Lord over 40 some odd years ago on that beach in Florida, remember I told you I had a cigarette in one hand, beer in the other, watching the sun come up on the beach. And man, that hippie came over. He says, look like you're looking for truth. I said, and that's exactly what I was doing. He said, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. That's my life scripture, John 8:32. But I didn't know it was John 8:32 when he told me. I didn't know anything about God. He said, give me your hand. I didn't know what that meant. Now pray with me. I prayed with him. And when I opened my eyes, I was born from above. I was born again. I got in my truck. I left Jacksonville Beach. I was driving up someplace, and I don't know, and here I was, and a soldier was hitchhiking, you know, and so I pulled over. Hey, man, you want to get in? And, of course, I had a cooler of beer. I mean, you know, and you know how you have, you know, you have all your ice in there, and the ice kind of gets melted. You have water, and so it starts sloshing around, and you can hear the cans hit. So I'm sitting here telling this guy all about Jesus, man. And I'm just pouring my heart out to him and so forth. And he's hearing that. He's looking at me, okay? I'll come back to him in a moment. I'll come back to him. Let's keep going. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, oh, I have food to eat of which you don't even know. And therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him to eat it, something to eat? Jesus said to them, oh, listen, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He says, I'm here. I only not want to, I know God's will. I want to do God's will. I'm about my Father's business, in other words. Now, watch what he did. He said, do not say. He's looking right at his disciples. He's getting ready to give them a contrast between a natural harvest and a true spiritual harvest. He says, boys, listen, do not say there are still 4 months. We got to wait 4 more months because this green is greening up, but it's not time yet. We've got to wait 4 more months, and then comes the harvest. He says, behold, I say to you, he's talking to his disciples, watch this, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, look who's coming. Don't you see the men of Sychar? They're coming to this well right this minute. There is our harvest. Lift up your eyes and see, amen? That's what he was saying, and watch. And he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and reaps may rejoice together, for in this the saying is true. One sows, another reaps, and that is true, loved one. And I sent you to reap for that which you've not labored, and others have labored, and you've entered into their labors. Now here comes the harvest, watch. And many of the Samaritans of that city, what? They believed in Jesus. Why did they believe in Jesus? Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. Loved one, listen to me. That's it. That's all she said. That's all she had. Are you listening to me? She had absolutely nothing else. She had been saved less than 24 hours, and all that she did, she said, she went down and said, okay, I want you to come and see a man, and he told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the anointed one? That's it right there. Now, let's come back to the soldier. There I was, beer sloshing around. He's sitting in the car, and I'm saying, listen to me. You know, I got to tell you something. Now, let me preface it by saying this. I didn't know anything about the Word of God when I got saved. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't know what sanctification, justification, from glory to glory. I didn't know anything. I thought one Bible was all the same. Every Bible was the same. I thought every church was the same. That's how naive I was. I didn't grow up at all in any type of Christianity, believe me. And here I am. I know I'm just like that woman. I don't know anything. I just know what just happened to me. So what did I tell the soldier? I said, listen, man. I said, I don't know. I said, I was only 2 hours in the Lord. And I said, something happened to me. I tell you, Jesus Christ is real. And I said, if you will give me your hand, that's all I knew. Say, give me your hand. That's what that old boy did for me. He said, give me your hand. And I said, if you'll give me that hand, and if you'll pray with me right now, you'll have what I have. He said, can you pull over right down there for me? He's looking at beers all flying around, you know. I mean, I didn't lead him to the Lord. I scared him to death. No. But that's all I knew. That's all that woman knew, and it was enough. You don't have to have a lot, man. You just have to have the Holy Spirit using you. And when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Oh, and watch this. And many more believed, not because of the woman. Now, watch. Because of Jesus' own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not just the Savior of the Jews. They're in Samaria. He's the Savior of the world. Listen, this title only mentioned one other place in Scripture, 1 John 4:14. This title came out of Samaria. They gave the recognition to Jesus, who he truly was. Amen? And listen, I look at that and I say, oh Lord, how good you are. I know that when Jesus finds any person, they are never the same again. This woman at the well didn't remain the woman at the well. Amen? She didn't, no, not at all. Listen, she was changed and she was a different woman because she had that living water. Sir, she said, give me this water. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, ho, everyone, a universal invitation. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Are you thirsty? Do you know Christ this morning? Do you not know the Lord? If you're a believer, are you spiritually empty? Have you dried up? Are you no longer excited about Jesus? Are you drinking from every well in the world except the living water well? Have you given up? Are you tired, worn out? The Bible says, oh, listen, are you thirsty? Everyone who is thirsty, listen to what God says. Come to the waters. If you don't have any money, you just come and you buy and eat. It's okay. Yes, come and buy wine and milk and without money and without price. And all those are symbols of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, you say, you know what? I am empty. It's just by chance I came. No, no, no. There are no chances. You're here because God called you here. Empty and worn out, dried up, shriveled up, just no spiritual life, no desire to pray. If you're a believer, no desire to open your Bible anymore. No desire to tell anybody about Christ. hurting inside and no one knows it, going through the motions of Christianity but not living it any longer, not even enjoying it. You know what God says? He says in Isaiah 55, 2, he says, why do you spend money for what is not bread? Just keep spending and spending and spending, but it doesn't satisfy you. He says, and your wages, for what? Why do you go buy things, but it doesn't satisfy? Now listen, listen to what God says. He says, listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and listen to what God says. He says, come to me. He come to me and hear and let your soul live. God says, open your ears. He says, listen carefully to me. I want you to come now to my well. I want you to come to my table. I want you to eat in abundance. I want to give you what is good. There's only one way to have the living water of God. And that, you know what the qualification is? Jesus told us. He says, if anyone, what? Thirst, let him come. If anyone thirst, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. Some of you this morning, you need to say to our Lord, to our Father in heaven, you need to say, sir, give me this water. I am dying of thirst. I want to be so quenched in my spirit, in my soul. I've been through so many abusive relationships and so much junk in my life and so many men or so many women or so many drugs or so much of an addiction, whatever it might be. He says, you come. You come to me. You come to me if you're thirsty, and I'm going to do something for you. I am going to change your life forever and ever and ever and ever. But you have to come. You have to be thirsty. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you don't know Christ this morning, if Jesus is not your Lord, or if you're coming to church and playing church and not living for Christ, or you're just bored and think, well, mama drug me to church this morning, I have to be here, or I'm a teenager and I have to be here because of mom and dad, listen to me. You have the greatest opportunity in your life. You can come to him right now. He'll wipe out all the date rapes. He'll heal the hurt from that. He'll take away the bitterness, the loneliness. And if you're a woman, say, you know, I was married twice or once or three or whatever, but look what they've done to me. God says, you come to me. You come to me and drink. I'll change your life forever and ever and ever. All you have to say is, sir, give me this water. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if that's you, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Only between you, God, and me. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. That's me this morning, and I need, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone, quickly, don't, yes, God bless you. That's right. Quickly now. Anyone else before I close? God bless you. I see that. Anyone else? Last call. I see that way back there. Yes. Anyone else before I close? God bless you, sis. I see that. Anyone else? Sir, give me this water. Father, in Jesus' name, you saw the hands. You know their hearts. You know of everything they've ever done, and you are not here to condemn them, but you are here to free them. So those who lifted your hands, you pray this with me right now. Church, help me pray. Say, Father,
Father,
I want this living water.
I want this living water.
I'm so dry. I'm so thirsty.
So thirsty.
Sir, give me this water. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe in you. Save me. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? You that lifted your hands, you prayed that prayer. We're going to close with a song. There'll be people here at the front. Listen, please don't leave. Come down. Just come down and say, I want that booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. If you prayed that prayer and you're listening live right now, you email me tomorrow at info@loveneverfails.com. Include your address, and that book will be mailed out to you immediately. It'll be mailed tomorrow. There's no one like the Lord. Father, give this church living water. Flood us with your Spirit. Saturate us with your presence. Let us glory in no one but you. Free us from everything that offends you. Free us. I love you with all my heart. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. You need prayer again. People will be down here. I'm going to depart to the main lobby. I'll be at the visitor center. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd love to meet you. They have a free gift over there for you. Or if any of you need to talk, I'd love to meet with you. I love you dearly. In Jesus' name, let's sing.
God.